ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक्प्राणश्चक्षुः श्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदं माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्यां मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणं मे अस्तु। तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्माः ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु। ॐ शान्ति 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 हरिः। ॐ ॐ मे मै लिम्स् स्पीच् वैटल् फोर्स् ऐस् इयर्स् एज़् आल्सो स्ट्रेन्त् अण्ड् आल् दि आर्गन्स् बिकम् वेल् डेवलप्ड्। Everything is the Brahman revealed in the Upanishads. May I not deny Brahman? May not Brahman deny me? Let there be no spurning of me by Brahman. Let there be no rejection of Brahman by me. May all the virtues that are spoken of in the Upanishads repose in me, who am engaged in the pursuit of the Self. May they repose in me. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. We are discussing the Samvarga Vidya. What is Samvarga Vidya? It is the Vidya, knowledge, that was taught by the sage Raikva to King Janashruti, and it is contained in chapter 4 of the Chandogya Upanishad in sections 1 to 3. What is the Samvarga Vidya? Merge the effect into the cause. Thus go on merging the grossest effect into subtle cause and its cause into its cause until finally one reaches Hiranyagarbha, herein called Vayu, or another name for Hiranyagarbha is also called Saguna Brahma. In the earlier mantras we have seen, in this third section, there are Agni, Vayu and fire called Agni. So, or Surya, Chandra and Agni. All these three. So, when the sun sets, where does it go? It merges in Vayu. When the moon sets, it also merges in Vayu Devata. Vayu means Vayu Devata or Hiranya Devata, Hiranya Garbha Devata. Similarly, when fire goes out, where does it go? Into the same Hiranya Garbha. These are the effects of or manifestations of Hiranya Garbha. Up till that we have seen. Now we have also just mentioned the second mantra, that is with regard to waters. And this is with regard to what we call Adhi Daivika, the cosmic aspect of Hiranyagarbha or Vayu Devata. Second mantra goes like this, Yada Apaha Uchushyanti, Vayum Eva Apiyanti, Vayuhu Eva Yatan Sarvan Samrungte Iti Adhi Daivam. When water dries up, it's in air that it merges. For air absorbs all these. All these means not only water, the fire, the sun, the moon. And this is the doctrine of Samvarga with regard to the gods or Adhi Daivika. We had already discussed every effect finally has to go back. So we have to understand when water dries up, where does it go? Into Vayu. That is why when very in the summer season, when it is very hot, one of the methods to cool the temperature is, you take a big cloth, wet it, spread it on the floor of your room and let Vayudevata do the work. So, the water absorbs the heat, and along with that heat, then it becomes one with Vayudevata. Why? Because when the effect merges back, it must merge back into its cause. So, Vayudevata is the cause. From Vayudevata only, Agni has come, and Agni represents Surya, Chandra, and then on the earth, it is the fire, and within each one of us, it is called Vaishvanara Agni, digestive fire, gastric fire, or hydrochloric acid. Every acid is nothing but fire. So it melts. Every type of acid melts whatever is put into it. So this melting of the effect into the cause is called samvarga or absorption. So simplest way of understanding, the effect must go back to its cause. That is what the meaning of this beautiful song, Mana Chalo Nijani Ketane. O mind, go back to your own house, where from the mind has come from prana. And prana, individual prana, has come from where? From cosmic prana. And the cosmic prana, that is light and heat, has come from where? From Vayudevata or Hiranyagarbhadevata. So that is what we need to understand. So in this second mantra of the third section, Raikwa had taught from the angle of gods, Adhidaivika, that Vayudevata gives birth, maintains or sustains and again absorbs. Whatever gives birth, that alone can maintain, that alone can again take it back, must take it back. This chakra, this cyclical, cyclical process goes on all the time. That is what said here by Raikwa to King Janashruti, or rather his disciple, very eagerly absorbing everything the teacher was issuing from his mouth, absorbing, understanding, though the Upanishad doesn't mention, he must have also attained identity with the Vayudevata. So when water dries up, it becomes air. It is absorbed in air, because from air only water comes. How does water come from air? Air produces fire. Fire produces water. Water produces annam. We have to understand that is also included, though it is not said, but we will get that overall meaning in the next mantra. So this is from the viewpoint of the cosmic or universal viewpoint, Adhi Daivika. Then we go move to the third mantra on this third section, Atha Abhyatma. Raikwa had taught King Janashruti, his apt disciple, so far that everything is caused by Vayudevata or Hiranyagarbha, the sun, the moon, the fire, and the waters. So we have to, as I said, we have to include the Prithvi Devata also. Now, what about the individual? What about us? This is called Adhyatma. Adhi Atma. That is regarding one's own self. When we are asked, who are you? Say, I am so and so. That means I am such and such an individual and not anybody else. That is called individuality. Even though Swami Vivekananda makes fun, you are calling yourself individual, but you have not yet become individual. You are a divided person. In individual, that which cannot be divided, that is called individual. But we are saying we are individual, but we are behaving as though we are divided into body, mind. How many bodies? Millions, billions of bodies. What do I mean? A baby says, I am so and so. That baby's body is one body. Every day, a new. That is why we count that this is the sixth. Baby is 1 month old, 30 days or 31 days old,
baby is 32 days old. So 32 days old baby's body is not 31 days old baby's body. There is a change, there is a growth, there is some destruction, there is some construction. Everything in this world is changing. That is why time is the greatest changer. So with regard to the individuality, what is that principle which is the ruling deity of this whole individuality? And that is called Prana Devata. Now, English translation is called vital force. We should not mistake vital force, because we are going to discuss in the Taittiriya, especially in the second chapter called Anandavalli, Brahmanandavalli, second section, that is called Prana Maya Kosha. Therein, Prana is equated like this here. So Prana means the representation, manifestation of the universal Vayu Devata or Hiranyagarbha in the form of or as Prana Devata in every individual, in every living creature. And that Prana Devata, it energizes, enlivens, and then makes the body, mind to act as it were. Any action, even thought is an action, requires energy. That is why we have to take note that food means energy. So you may say sweet food, sweet energy. Sweetness is energy. Sugar is energy. What about bitterness? That is also energy. So we require a lot of these minerals to make our food complete. Whatever be the food. Food means what? That which is to be digested. And what happens when food is digested? It becomes energy. And that energy is divided into five parts. Prana, Vyana, Apana, Udana and Samana. That's what we are going to discuss in a little more detail in the Taittiriya Upanishad. But here this is what we have to understand. So just as Vayu Devata is the absorber or into which everything merges universally, cosmically, here Prana Devata, and that is what makes the body, mind, all sense organs, including the mind, get absorbed. And it is the Prana Devata which divides itself into five distinct classifications, performing different functions so that the body is kept well, the mind also is kept well. Without prana, no individual can even think. That is going to be highlighted here in this third mantra. Atha Adhyatmam, Raikwa was teaching King Janashruti. Now I will teach you what is the Devata. You will have to take note. Prano Vava Samvargaha. Earlier he said, Vayu Vava Samsargaha. Vayu Devata, cosmically, is the absorber. Here Prana is the absorber. And especially, this is more manifest during the third state that we experience, called deep sleep state, or sorry, dreamless state, sushupti state. Sa yada swapiti. When an individual is in that state of sushupti, swapiti means sleeps. Sleeping means it is neither waking nor dream. That is what we have to understand. Pranam eva. So when a person is sleeping, pranam eva vak apyeti. Vak means the organ of speech. So, our physical organ of speech, that is what we call a window, golaka. But the real sense organ is subtle and cannot be experienced by us. The real eye, the real ear, the real tongue, the real tvakar, the skin, that is the tvagindriya. Nobody can experience these five sense organs of knowledge. What is it that we see? The eye, the ear, the nostril, the skin. What is it then? The tongue, they are called windows. Windows means gross instruments so that the function of the indriyas can be manifest through these. So here we are talking about the power of the indriyas, the sense organs, especially the five sense organs of knowledge. So the organ called eye, it goes out. The organ called vaak or speech. So there is a thought, and that thought comes out in the form of speech. As I said, the mouth is only an external organ, like a window, but not real vagindriya. Vagindriya is subtle, and that makes up sukshma sarira, part of sukshma sarira. So that is what Raikwa was wanting to teach, that how does the organ called speech function because of prana. But when a person enters into that state called deep sleep, where does this vagindriya, that means vagindriya and the eye, the sense organ of perception or seeing, the sense organ of hearing, as well as the mind, all these are nothing but sensor instruments of knowledge only. So what happens? When a person is in the waking state, they function. Also, when they are in the dream state, they do function. But what happens when a person is in the deep sleep state? So, the Raikwa was only indicating we have to add etc., etc., etc. That means this is only what is called, just a few names are given. We have to imagine all other sense organs, including the organs of action also. So when a person is in deep sleep, then he is not going anywhere. He doesn't do. He can't see, he can't hear, he can't taste, he can't smell, he can't touch. So he can't walk, he can't grab, etc., etc. But if they are functioning also, because even the body is alive, physical body is alive, movements are seen. Sometimes person in deep sleep can also be with wide open eyes, but it doesn't mean that that person is able to see anything. In deep sleep, all these do not work. In dream, of course, the person sees not the external world, but his own created world, imaginary world. So, sayada sopiti, when an individual is in that, goes to sleep in that state of sushupti, vak pranam eva apyeti. So the vagindriya becomes merged in the prana, because it came out from prana. Prana only sustains it, otherwise a person cannot even want to speak, cannot speak. Similarly, what happens when a person is in deep sleep? Chakshuh pranam apyeti. Chakshuh means the sense organ of seeing. Chakshuh, the eye, that also becomes merged in prana. Similarly, the sense organ of shrotram means sense organ of hearing, that also becomes merged into prana. These are only three mentioned, but we have to add all the other sense organs, also organs of action. So, pranam manaha. So, mind also is nothing but made up of all these sense organs only, especially of knowledge. So, even the mind also doesn't function, but it doesn't die. It came out, it originated from prana, it is sustained by prana, and it finally merges back into prana, in which state? In deep sleep state. That is what being said. And having given a few examples, and it is for us to add, etc., etc., everything called body and mind, they all become completely one with the prana, as a, like a seed which contains the entire future tree. Then Raikwa concludes, pranohi eva etan sarvan samrungte iti. Pranohi eva, only prana alone, sarvan etan. So all these sense organs, and then mind also, including the mind also, samrungte, it absorbs iti. You will have to understand. So what is the teaching now to the Janashruti? just as you have to understand the whole universe has come out of Vayu, is maintained by Vayu, and goes back to Vayu, or Hiranyagarbha, in other words, don't get confused, or Saguna Brahma. Here also the individual Pranadevata is the manifestation of that cosmic, what is called Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha is manifesting in the form of the prana, and because of that prana, mind becomes active, all sense organs become active, all organs of action also become active, the whole body becomes active, the whole mind becomes active, and only when prana sustains, the mind becomes capable of becoming a like a mirror and reflecting the chidabhasa. That is why chit, or the pure consciousness, is there even in a dead body. Pure consciousness is Brahman, and Brahman is anantam, infinite. So even a dead body is not outside infinity. It is within infinity. But then we don't see the reflection of the pure consciousness or chit or atman or Brahman because the mind is not functioning. Since the mind doesn't function, mind cannot act like a mirror. Even to act like a mirror, prana must support it. So individually, the Vayu Devata individually is called Prana Devata. This Prana Devata individually, cosmically, universally is called Vayu Devata or Hiranyagarbha. And now Raikwa wants to conclude this teaching, says, Tauva etau gau samvargau Vayu Reva Deveshu Pranaha Eva Praneshu. Tau, this is a dual number. Tau, etau, dvau, samvargau. So, tau, va, etau. These are two. What to do? To the absorbers. There are two absorbs. Absorbers. Cosmically, it is called Vayu Devata. Individually, it is called Prana Devata. And that is what he is putting Vayu Reva Deveshu. In the Adidaivika level, universal, cosmic level, Vayu is the absorber, samvargaha, and individually, prana is the praneshu, pranaha. Here, prana means praneshu, pranaha means pranadevata. Praneshu means that which makes every sense organ, and only the body mind is nothing but a combination of sense organs only, nothing else. So, physical body is nothing but five organs of knowledge, five organs of action. See, that is from the sthula bhutas, from the gross five elements. But the same mind means what? It is called subtle body. Our physical body is called gross body. Gross body is the outcome of gross five elements, and the subtle body is the outcome of the five subtle elements. And individually, is called Prana Devata. Pranaha Praneshu. Now what does Raikwa want to say? That now, Janashruti, first of all, you are not to identify, I am the body, I am the mind, but I am a manifestation of Prana Devata. That is the contemplation. And once this contemplation becomes successful, then the person always feels, I am Prana Devata. Everything is the instrument of the Prana Devata. So food is eaten, who is eating? Prana Devata. Who is hearing? Prana Devata. Who is seeing? Prana Devata. Brahmarpanam, Brahmahavihi, Brahmagnav, Brahmanahutam, Brahma Eva, Tena Gantavyam, Brahma Karma Samadhinam. Substitute the word Brahma with Prana. So, you have to say pranarpanam, pranahavir, pranagnav, pranana hutam, prana eva tena labhya. So, the person becomes prana eva tena gantavyam. So, such a person who feels whatever the person is doing is the prana devata who is doing, and such a person, through this contemplation, he becomes, he attains identity with Prana Devata, and he never says, I am the eye, I am the hand, I am the head, etc. And once he attains that one, then he perceives that even this Pranadevata is only an angle of vision. So looked at individual point of view, that Vayudevata is called Pranadevata, and the same Pranadevata looked cosmically will become Vayudevata. This non-difference between Prana Devata and Vayudevata or Hiranyagarbha becomes absolutely one and non-separate. And then that person who succeeds in this contemplation, he becomes identified with Hiranyagarbha. So he becomes identified with everything in this world, living or non-living. So everybody's happiness becomes his happiness. Everybody's unhappiness also becomes his happiness. Now, many times I explained, but since doubts may come, I am going to clarify. Okay, he becomes one with Hiranyagarbha, and you are telling Hiranyagarbha is one who is manifesting as X, Y, Z. So, when we look at X, Y, for example, X is happy, at the same time, Y is unhappy. Y is happy, at the same time, X also is unhappy. Then, how does Hiranyagarbha, at the same time, experience both happiness and unhappiness? The answer is, when a person knows, I am the tormentor, I am the tormented, I am the good person, I am the evil person, then everything becomes like a play, like a cinema, like a drama, like an actor who puts on two roles of both the hero and the villain. And when the villain is beating the hero is acting, oh, somebody is going to kill me, I cannot stand any longer. But inside he is enjoying so much, oh, how beautifully I am able to act, how beautifully I am able to cry out, help, help, SOS. And he understands from the reaction, especially in the dramas, you can hear the sniffing sounds. People become emotional. Like when Girish Chandra Ghosh was playing the act of a drunkard and beating his wife black and blue in the drama, there was a great saint, almost a saint, Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar, whom Sri Ramakrishna had visited and blessed. And so this Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar, he forgot it was a drama. He threw out his chappal, and Girish Chandra Ghosh received it with the greatest reverence. He must have been a great cricket player to catch that chappal. And he put it on his head and bowed down to Vidyasagar, because his acting in that cruel manner had evoked this response. Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar forgot it was just a drama. He was not a drunken husband. He was not beating anybody. That is all play acting. So, I hope I am able to convey that idea. When only when we are identifying, I am this individual and nobody else. Sometimes I am happy, sometimes I am unhappy. I can never be both happy and unhappy at the same time. But if I become both, if when I identify myself with both, just like you stand in front of a mirror and go on behaving like a monkey, pouting, shouting, and making faces, and your reflection, of course, reflects. So you are enjoying, I'm tormenting that, and that also is tormenting you. But both torments, tormentor and tormented, both become thoroughly enjoyable. And that is well expressed in drama or in cinemas. So, two friends will be there, hero and villain, close friends, imagine. And both of them acted very well. And finally, the hero kills the villain, or the witch throws into the valley, what is called Dalmatians 101 or something like that. And you are very happy. The evil has been removed, destroyed. But then when these two people meet, the good lady and the witch, and they embrace and say, they don't have sufficient number of words to praise each other. So this is all play acting. Both of them, the killer and the killed, the tormentor and the tormented, thoroughly enjoy, like that same person acting in two roles, or if it is two roles, I don't know why he can't act in 10 roles. I don't see why it cannot. Any gimmick can be done with AI. So this was the Vidya taught by Raikwa, and in course of time, Janashruti also attains onement, unity with Hiranyagarbha or called Vayudevata from the Adi Daivika point and Pranadevata from the individual point of view. With this, the Samvarga Vidya is over. Now, what do we get out of it? What is the practical benefit? This is simply to say that everybody is a Pranadevata. If I am a Pranadevata, you are also a Pranadevata. And what about your behavior? That's because of some samskaras. Or I would say even better way, you are evil and you are tormenting me. No, you are my bad karma phala. And if somebody is helping me and trying to make me happier, then that person is my punya phala. One is papa phala, one is punya phala. This is the highest essence of karma siddhanta. There is nobody who is an evil person. My own purva janma karma, the effect of what wrong things, evil things I had done in the past are coming back to me. They must come back in the form of an instrument, and unable to understand. That means when I call a person an evil person, I am not understanding that it is the result of my own karma. So I am innocent. I have not done anything wrong. But this person is unnecessarily tormenting me. This is the essence of karma siddhanta. Similarly, if somebody is giving me happiness by encouraging, by friendship, or by sharing and caring, by loving, we have to understand we did some punya karma. This world is meant for exhausting our karma phala only. That is what we need to understand. With this, the Samvarga Vidya is over. And as I said, we have to practice it, saying that I am not so and so. I am part of the manifestation of Pranadevata. Everybody is a manifestation of Pranadevata. In fact, there is no difference between me, this the Pranadevata in me, and the Pranadevata in somebody else. And when a person becomes united with that Hiranyagarbha, then he sees the whole universe consisting of the gross and subtle and causal bodies is nothing but my own self in the form of Hiranyagarbha. Only I have included the Sushupti state, but truly speaking, if I include the Sushupti state, I must call myself not as Hiranyagarbha, but technically as Ishvara. That much you take note. Then a story is told that whoever practices this Samvarga Vidya, he becomes most glorified. And in order to show that Mahima, glory, and the synthesis of the Pranadevata and Vayudevata, there is a story told. So the story is, there was a brahmachari and he was doing this contemplation of Samvarga Vidya, and at noon one day he went to a place where two people, so one was called Shaunaka and another was called Abhipratarin. They were eating food. They were being served food just at that time, maybe noon. This brahmachari went there and begged food, but they did not give food. They refused to give food. The story we have to understand, not that they were refusing to give food. They will never refuse. And why also, I will tell you. But they wanted to test this brahmachari. Maybe some conversation was there. The Upanishad doesn't mention. They might have asked my dear friend, who are you? He says, I am a practitioner of Samvarga Vidya. He must have informed. And they wanted to test how much he progressed. So, by way of testing, they refused to give food. Then that Brahmacharin, calm and quietly, because he has progressed in the Samvarga Vidya, he confronts them with this statement. My friends, there is one great God who swallows up four others. Like Vayudevata swallows up Agni, Surya, Chandra, etc., Jala, waters, etc. And Prana swallows up this eye and the ear and the mind and the Vagindriya. So there is a great God, that is, he is referring to this Vayudevata, who swallows up four others. And that Vayudevata is the originator of this entire cosmos. He is the protector of all the worlds. You do not realize that all the food of this world belongs to this God. And it is to this God that you have refused food. What does it mean? Probably the Brahmachari did not understand he was being tested. He said, you do not understand. I am a contemplator of Samvarga Vidya and you are refusing food to me. So who am I? I became one with this Vayudevata. And the whole cosmos is a production of the sun and the moon and the fire and earth. So who is asking food? I, who has become the Vayudevata through this contemplation called Samvarga Vidya. Now I realize my identity. You may look at me as a Brahmacharin, ignorant Brahmacharin, but I am looking at myself. I am the Vayudevata, not only Pranadevata, but Vayudevata. This entire world is produced, it is maintained, sustained, and it is absorbed back by this Vayudevata. So, how does Vayudevata maintain? By giving food. And he is food. He himself is being, feeding himself in the form of these so many. Like Mother Annapurna is not an individual who is giving food to others. She is the embodiment of food. Whatever food we eat is Mother Annapurna. Whatever water we drink is Jaladevata, Ganga Devi. Whatever warmth we have, that belongs to Agni Devata. Whatever air or prana, oxygen, that belongs to the Vayu Devata. So, thus, the whole universe is nothing but manifestation of Vayu Devata. So, Vayu Devata is really food. Because of food, you are able to survive. O2 Brahmacharins, Shaunaka and Pratarin, Avipratarin, you are approached by Vayudevata in my form as a Brahmachari and you are refusing food and this food belongs to him and you are refusing to give food belonging to him, to himself, and thereby it will not bide you any good. That's what he said, you have refused food to this God who is giving food to the whole world, who is in the form of food itself. So by this he implies that he as a meditator has become identified with the all-absorbing deity, Prana or Vayu. He himself is that deity asking for its rightful food, and in refusing him, they are committing a grave offense. This is what Bhagavad Gita tells, that he who is given food by the devatas and not offering lovingly that food to the deity who gives food, he is a sthena eva saha. He is a thief. And this is what is being implied here. So then, you will lose. You will commit a sin. Papa, please do not do that. Now, Shaunaka and that Kape Avipratarin, so among both of them, whom is Brahmachari begged food, Shaunaka, it demonstrates a deeper, at least different understanding. Now Shaunaka, what is Shaunaka telling? My friend, do not think that we are refusing to give food to you. We just wanted to know how far have you progressed in spiritual life. Now we know you have identified yourself with. Actually, we too are contemplators of this Samvarga Vidya, we also know what is this God, because we ourselves, we feel, both of us feel, I am the Vayudevata, etc. So Shaunaka replies that the being they meditate, they contemplate, is the ultimate soul, the creator of all, who eats through the mouth of knowledge itself. So he describes a devourer for whom everything, including the eaters themselves, is food. So this is a wonderful concept. Everybody is an eater. Everybody is eaten. So I am food. I am sustained by food. And I am the eater of the food. But in my turn, I am the food. I am eaten by somebody else. As I mentioned many times, in any delight manner, a mosquito, any bacteria, any number of worms in our stomach, all these are eating up. How many billions of bacteria are living on our body and eating us? And some are good, some are not so good, etc. So the whole world at the same time is both annam and annadaha. One who is a food, one who is an eater of food, one who is eaten also by others. At the same time, the eater and the eaten, everyone is that. That is what he is replying. And who can say, give such a reply? Only one who identifies with this Hiranyagarbha or Vayudevata, he can say, I am the eater, I am the eaten. Simple example. Suppose you have a dream. You are hungry in your dream. And you go to a hotel and then order food. Food is supplied. And then you start eating. And then now you analyze. The whole thing is, who are you as an individual in the dream? Your own creation. You created yourself in that dream. And you made yourself hungry in that dream. And you went to the hotel, which was your own creation. And the food that was cooked in that hotel was also your own imagination. You yourself have become that food. And you are eating that food yourself. Meanwhile, in some of the hotels, there will be a lot of mosquitoes and flies. They are sitting and stinging you, and you are being eaten at the same time. So far as the dream is concerned, you are the friend, you are the enemy, and you are the good, you are the evil, you are everything. Marvelous example for understanding this unity of this entire universe. So that is what Shaunaka said. We are just testing you. I know both of us, Shaunaka and Abhipratarin, as well as yourself, we are all contemplating on the same God, on the same deity, and therefore we are only testing. We know what you are now. We are not denying you food. It is just a test. And then they ordered food. Let this brahmachari also be served. And then in the course of this teaching, Shaunaka tells us something very beautiful, which we will discuss in our next class. A little bit cryptic, but highly meaningful. That is why I am taking time. We will discuss about it in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Saritva Pranamami Mohurmohu. May Hare Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Hare Ramakrishna.